We're continuing our series, and we may end it today after 678 years, cultivating an intense desire for the Word. Cultivating an intense desire for the Word. Amen. Cultivating an intense desire for the Word. Let's go to our foundation text, if we will. That'll be 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, reading the first verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Again, I'll be reading this out of the NASB. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Amen. And remember, therefore, takes us back to verse 22 of the previous chapter. If you look at verse 22 of chapter 1, verse 22 reads, since you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brothers and sisters, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. I love how he explains seed in case we just got confused. Verse 23, for you've been born again, not of seed which is imperishable. You've been born again of a seed, but not a seed that can perish. Amen. But imperishable, comma, that is, now he's going to explain what that seed is. Through the living and enduring word of God. What caused us to be born again? The living and enduring word of God. Then he goes on to explain the qualities of this word. For all flesh is like grass, meaning all human beings are like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. In other words, all of the ooh la la that human beings bring to the earth is like the flower of grass. Well, how is that? The grass withers, the flower falls off. In other words, that comes to an end. No matter how famous you are, no matter how ooh la la you are, how influential you are, how powerful you are, how rich you are, it's all coming to an end. Well, that sounds a lot like 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, which says that the earth is passing away along with its desires. See, all of the propers and all of the accolades and all of the fame and fortune that we're longing for and fighting for, it's futile, vain, worthless, because it doesn't last. It's going to come to an end just like flower and just like grass. Because all flesh is like grass. All flesh, like the flower of the grass. Flower withers, the grass passes away. But look at the end of that. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you and which is being preached to you today. The enduring word of God, the everlasting word of God, the imperishable word of God. Hallelujah. Then he goes on into chapter 2, therefore, as a result of this word that is forever, and caused you to be born again, and is causing you to love your brothers and sisters with a fervent love from your heart, as a result of that word, get rid of sin. Get rid of it. Rid yourselves of all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, and like a newborn baby, long for the milk of the word. Let's look at the word long again as a way of review. The word long again is, who cares what it is in Greek? Just long you know the definition. Long for is an intense, jealous desire, I love the word, this synonym phrase, because a jealous desire is a desire that if anything else comes up in there trying to take that desire, it is jealous against that. They don't want it in there. We're not there yet, because if some other desire creep up in there, we are allowing it in there because we sort of kind of like it. And, you know, we kind of like God's word, but we sort of kind of like this too. And sort of kind of like that. And we sort of kind of liking too many things. And that desire is not jealous enough. That if something else is kind of coming into that space and invading it, we're not, rah, get out of here. Help us to be more jealous with our desire, Father. A profound need. Does a newborn baby, a just born baby, a minutes, seconds old baby, have a profound need called milk, for milk?
Yes, indeed.
That's what we need. That's what we ought to be. A profound need. An extreme hunger for God's word. And that hunger is ever recurring. It's over and over and over until we die. An ever recurring passion. An insatiable, meaning cannot be satisfied, longing. A craving that is all consuming. A kind of desire that is a solo, solitary desire. And we try to put it in a nutshell. Desire to long for is an intense, profound, extreme, ever recurring desire that is all consuming. We come into words like completely fills one mind and attention, that is obsessive, compulsive, fanatical, excessive. The world would look at you crazy. I don't get that. I don't understand that. You won't get it unless you're born again.
Amen.
And even those who are born again and are not feeding on that word regularly, they won't even get it.
Amen.
We ought to be obsessive, compulsive, excessive concerning the word of God. You can't get too much of the word of God.
Amen.
I remember someone said, you know, too much of a good, you know, you can't get too much of it. No, you can't. Too much of anything is not good, is what the guy was telling me, actually. And I'm like, no, not the word. You can't get too much word. It's impossible. Yeah. That's an impossibility. He said, like a newborn baby in verse 2, long for the pure milk of the word. Pure means it is guileless. The word of God is guileless. Guileless means it's without guile. You see the root of that is guile. Guile means to trick you, to deceive you, to present to you one thing when it's really something else. That's not the word. The word of God is guileless. Meaning it is unadulterated. That means nothing added to it. The word of God has no ulterior motives happening behind the scenes. When I teach to you the word of God, I'm giving you God's word.
Amen.
There's no slicky things behind the scenes going on. It is truthful, honest, and straightforward. Complete, untouched, unmodified, unaltered, and untainted. It is pure. You don't need to reinvent the wheel, preachers, pastors. Don't need to reinvent the wheel. Just give folks the word and let it do what it's designed to do. To work on the hearts and minds of God's people, causing them to live a more holy life
therefore bringing him the glory that's due his name. It's real simple. The whole duty of man is real simple. Love God, love neighbor. Real simple.
And the word of God helps us to get to that point. So the word of God is what we long for. We went over some things last week concerning long for. We asked a series of questions, you know, do we have even a remote kind of desire for the word of God like that, that kind of craving? Do we get to a place where we desire it more than our necessary food? If you had a choice to read the word and study the word or eat some food, which would you choose? Don't answer that. Do we have an intense longing that rises out of our hearts the way that longing rises out of a baby who's longing for the milk of the mother? When we're not receiving the milk of the word, will we cry out for it like a newborn baby crying out for their mother's milk? Some of us are probably saying, I'm a long way from that. And that's an honest answer. I'm a long way from that. I'm not OCD concerning the Bible. I'm not obsessive compulsive. I'm not obsessed. We ask the question, well, then how do I get obsessed? I mean, how do we get to this where it is an intense, profound, extreme, ever-recurring desire that is all-consuming? How in the world do I get there? Anybody remember the answer to that? What's the first step? Get rid of sin. Somebody is listening. Auntie Allie, they listening. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
You all said that without hesitation. But that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, what did we say about sin? Sin spoils the spiritual appetite. Sin is a barrier to the taste for holy truth. Sin spoils our appetite, and it is a barrier to the truth. Just let that marinate for a moment. You can't live in sin, 1 John 1, walk in darkness. You can't walk in darkness and crave with an intense and profound and extreme and recurring desire the word of God. It is an impossibility. Because your loyalty, your desires, your attention is divided. And that's why we must always pay attention when reading the word of God to order, O-R-D-E-R, order. Pay attention to order. In verse 1, it says, lay aside sin. Then verse 2 says, long for the word like a newborn baby. That order is there on purpose. That order is in order. Get rid of sin first, verse 1. Long for the word, verse 2. Now, we've always said that God never gives us a desire that we cannot. A command rather, that we cannot fulfill. If you're born again, you have the ability, the capability, you've been enabled, and you're been empowered to fulfill the command. So you ought to rejoice rather than being overwhelmed. Say, well, you know what? I'm not fully sure how we're going to get there. I got step one on what to do, and it's get rid of sin. I got that. Now, as I just trust in the Lord and study his word, you're going to see this thing happen. You can't work that thing yourself. You have to have power from the Holy Ghost. Jesus said to one of his last speakings, it's not a good word, to his disciple before he ascended, Acts 1, he says, well, actually in Luke 49, he tells one of them, he says, you'll be endued with power from on high. Got to have power. This can happen if you're born again. You can get this kind of longing. And it can be ever recurring, an ever recurring desire. It takes time. We got our steps, you know, we got our marching orders. What we need to do first, verse 1, get rid of sin and slander and so on and so on. Get rid of sin. And when we talk about get rid of sin, we're talking about sinless. Sinless. Let's just make that simple. We're talking for many years about a decreasing frequency of sin, as sinning less, and which will lead to increasing fruits of righteousness. So as your sin decreases, your fruit of righteousness increases. And with that will be an increase concerning the desire for the word of God. Does that make sense? As your sin decreases, your righteousness increases. I'm talking about your, not your, now there's righteous standing, who you are in Christ Jesus, right? We were clothed in his righteousness. So since we are now clothed in his righteousness, we're now expected to live a righteous life. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're our righteous deeds don't make us righteous. No, we ought to live righteously because we are righteous. We've been made righteous.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Now, here's where this cooperation comes in sanctification. Now, God doesn't just make, just wham, boom, boom, bam, and just say, bam, and you have a desire, you know, supernatural for the word of God. Amen. Yeah, so you shaking your head, shaking your head. It don't work like that. You follow that? There's a so the cooperation is what he's done is given us his spirit, his power, his command, his word.
Yes.
What we're to do, so that's his half. Our half is now we must obey. We must use his spirit, obey his command by the power of his word. Does that make sense? So I got it now. Okay, I got the power, Holy Spirit, I'm saved, I got his word, I've been taught. Now, what I must do now is get rid of sin, and then I must read his word, study. So you got to put your thing in there. And as you, on purpose, deliberate intention, began to read and hear his word, I prefer expositional teaching that breaks it down. And then you begin to study and meditate his word so that you can understand his word and then put it into practice. You're going to see that desire increase.
Thanks.
Does that make sense? So as you can see, this is not something that's overnight.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, you must do the work. You must do the work. But you got power to do it. You got the tools. All the tools are there. All the power. Yeah, that thank you, Lord, is right. Somebody ought to lift a hand or two and say, thank you, Lord. All the power is there. Everything is there. You don't have to go to the Home Depot, Auntie, and go get a spade or go get a, you know, digging hole. You're none of that. Just it's all there. But you got, but see, it's like it's laying on the ground, sort of say. It's not gonna jump up in your hand and then just take over your body and start tilling the ground. It's not gonna do that. You must then reach. You must then put forth the effort.
Yes.
I believe that those who are serious about the things of God are longing to get this. You want this. And I'm hoping that today's, this part of the teaching helps to bring clarity that, yep, I can do this, or it can be done. We're in partnership. Sanctification is a partnership. Redemption, I'll keep getting the first. Justification is mono, erg, right? One person expending energy. The energy to save us came from one person, God Almighty. We'd have nothing to do with that. Just like you didn't have anything to do with your natural birth. Glorification is also monergistic. I put the word monergistic, mono meaning one, erg meaning is the word for energy. One person spending energy to glorify us, to justify us, and to glorify us. In the middle is sanctification. That's us, as God and us. So that's a synergistic work. We're working as a symphony. So God commands, he empowers, and then he expects us to use that power. Now, I want to keep saying it like that. You're not using your own power. It's not your grit your teeth anointing. That's in your own strength. And that's what folks don't understand, that when you seek to establish your own righteousness, that's to grit your teeth anointing. You're doing things in your own. That's works righteousness. That's not what God is talking about. That's not going to get you this at all, ever. Because that's your power, your strength, in your works, and your righteousness, which is as best filthy rags in front of God. It's his power, his might, his strength, us using that to obey him, and that's salvation. And so we in salvation, as we decrease in our sin and increase in acts of righteousness, there comes a love for God, yes, a love for his word. Yes. It all just increases. And there comes glory be to God, an ever increasing dislike for the things of this world. Amen. You just don't care for them anymore. Amen. Some of y'all Christ, you're experiencing that now. I don't care for this anymore. I don't care about that anymore. It just, I don't, back in the day, called it floating your boat. You used to float your boat. You know, it was something that you liked or enjoyed. Now you could do without it. That's because you're getting closer to him. Sanctification is being set apart from the things of the world. And when you're being set apart from the things of the world, you're getting closer to God. Further from the world, closer to God. Further from the world, closer to God. And notice all that is happening in symphony. Decreasing frequency of sin moves you further from the world, closer to God. Increasing love for God, it because you're further from the world and closer to God. Increasing love of his word and in growing in intensity and profundity concerning the desire, leaving more from the world, closer to God. It's simple. It's not difficult. It's just a matter of, am I going to do it?
That's right.
And that's really the bottom line. It starts in the mirror. Am I going to do this? Like I had a husband tell me, I told you several times, I gave a husband the word of God, clearly what husbands are to do for their wives, love them as Christ loved the church, and live that love her so that she ends up walking closer to the Lord. You know, live so that her life becomes more sanctified. You love her so, and you love her as your own flesh. And he said, hey, man, that's all, that's good. I know what you're saying is true, but I'm not going to do that. And that's exactly what he told him. I'm not going to do that. He was given the word, and they were divorced 2 weeks later, too, by the way. But the thing is, it's the ball is in your court. If you're born again, you've been given this word. You're now responsible. It's up to you to make that decision, because you can obey this command. You can get to this point. And then this is where in pastoring, there is room for motivational speaking in a sense in something like this. Because I want to encourage you or motivate you to understand you can do this. Not just for the pastor, not just for Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter. This is for you and I.
Yes.
This is a command to the church. Long for it. It is present, active, imperative. Present means ongoing, right? It's always ongoing. It's always happening. Active, you're doing it. Imperative is a command, not a suggestion.
Amen.
Once you understand that and you know you're born again, you ought to rejoice, because you know what? I'm gonna love that word just like that. Like a newborn baby loves milk. And rejoice in that. And then after rejoicing, then realize I gotta roll up my sleeves and turn off some TV, maybe a little internet, slow down some things, and then get the word. It's gonna take getting out of your comfort zone. It's gonna take breaking the routine. If I can get into my sanctified self, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, he's gotta break some routine. Can't just leave here and just business as usual. I mean, just think though. We want the results. Yes. We want it, but we don't want to do what it takes to get there. Mm-hmm. Because we just like our life as is. Comfortable. That's a good word. We love being comfortable. There's a lot that can be said about comfort. Comfort turns into a god. The god of comfort. Not the god of all comfort. That's uppercase G-O-D-G. But we're talking about comfort being a god. And we bow down to the god of comfort. I love things just nice and smooth and just... Apostle Paul looked like, when he finished studying his life, like he wasn't ever comfortable. Mm-hmm. He was in danger from friends, enemies. He was in danger in the water, on land.
Yes.
Beaten. I mean, just in a bad way. And yet he is, that's the reason why he's the great, maybe the greatest saint and apostle, second to Jesus Christ, that has ever lived. So we said, how do we get obsessed? We get rid of sin, and we must understand that there's a part that we must do. And we talked about longing for the word. In Nehemiah, we talked about how they read the word from early morning until midday. We're talking about maybe reading the word for about 6 hours early morning in the Jewish culture. It would have been around 6 o'clock in the morning till midday. Glory be to God. Thank you. Sorry about that. So you're talking about somebody standing there being read the word of God in the public square before the Watergate in the presence of the men and the women and all who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive for about 6 hours. That's wanting the word. And I doubt if there were just some comfortable seats and air conditioning going, these folks are probably outside. You're in the Middle East. It's probably warm, maybe hot. And they're listening to the word being read for probably 6 hours. Lord, help us to get there. Because we're nowhere close. Help us to get there. As a deer pants for the flowing stream, so pants my soul for you. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Can you imagine being super, super thirsty and then there's no water? How much then do you want water? Even more, because there's no water. You want water even more so. That's Psalm 63:1. We're to long for God like that. Long for his word. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Psalm 119, verse 20. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Consumed. Let's look at that. Put your eyes on that. Psalm 119, verse 20. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Let's lay some eyes on that. I want you to see that verse. That's a verse you ought to make a banner out of on your computer. Just make a banner. Just get like 120 size font and just lay that thing all across your living room or your bedroom or all over everywhere. My soul, are you seeing that? Everybody got it? Let's read that. 3, 2, and 1. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Do you see that? Father God, help us to be consumed with longing for your rules at all times. All the time, help us to be consumed. We ought to be consumed with longing for your rules all the time. Amen. That sounds like ever recurring. Amen. That sounds like that's ever recurring. If it's at all times, then it's occurring again and again and again. It's ever recurring. Right here. Ever recurring. That sounds like completely filling our mind and attention. Completely filling our mind and attention. If it's completely filling our mind and attention, then guess what? There's no room for nothing else. Mm. Oh, that sounds like the jealous thing. Well, we just got a little insight. If the Word of God is completely filling our mind and attention, then there is no room for anything else. Then that's when you dip into obsessive, excessive, fanatical, compulsive. Now you develop an OCD. And when you don't get it, you start twitching. You start scratching and twitching and knees shaking and what's wrong with you? Man, I ain't had it yet, you know. Let me go take a hit. A quick hit. Sit down. Pray for me. At all times. Skip down to verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness give me life. Look at verse 31. 131 rather. 131. Same chapter. 131. I opened my mouth and panted. And what's implied with eager desire. For I longed for your commandments. Notice it's the word, his precepts. We're longing for your rules. Rules are, all those are synonyms for the word of God. At all times. Jeremiah says, I find the words, I ate them. And the words became to me a joy and the light of my heart. For I'm called by your name. Only the folks who are called by God's name, meaning you're his own, you're his child. You're the only ones that can do something like that. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Let's go back to 1 Peter 2. All that was review. Now we're going to pick up here. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. Just like babies long for the pure milk of their mother. Here we long for the pure milk of our Father, if you will, of his word. And here it is. Here's the reason. That by it, what is it?
The word.
The word. Yeah, Judy is right. The word. You may grow up into salvation. And we started that last week. Remember we talked about salvation has three components. There's justification, sanctification, and then glorification. Remember, and I wrote in a pink highlighter, salvation over all of that. Those are the phases of salvation. Justification is when you're born again. Mm-hmm. Sanctification is what we're in now. Because once you're justified, you can't, as my man Alfred Fellow Horton Jr., they've tried to tell him, that sanctification is now living this thing out. There ought to be a clear observance of righteous living in your life. Clearly, once you've been justified. Amen. The evidence is in your sanctification. And then in the to complete salvation, there's glorification. So when he's talking about grow up in here, I am believing that he's talking about that we may grow up into salvation, or the, have in my notes here, the full and final completion of the sanctification aspect of salvation. Because that's the part we, remember that's the cooperative, that's the part we're involved in. We're not involved in justification, that's all God. We're not involved in glorification, that's all God. So you can see why I would say, if we're to take the word, get rid of sin, long for the word, that we may grow in salvation, well, the only part that would fit would be sanctification. That's where the sin decreases, righteousness increases. Love for the world decreases, love for God increases. Desire for the world decreases, a desire for the word of God increases. That's done through the word of God. By the way, grow is passive. Did I say that last week? Growing, grow, the word grow is passive. What does passive mean? Done to you. There you go. Passive means it's done to you. Active means you're doing the action. Passive means the action is being done to you. So this is literally is that it, the word, may grow you. Yeah. Does that, you said, I love when somebody gets the light come on a little bit. Understand, it can't grow you if you are not eating it, drinking it. Can you see? It's an impossibility. You don't grow you. The word grows you. So listen now, this is the revelation. If you're not eating the word, drinking the word, getting the word, studying and meditating the word, then you can't grow, because it can't grow you. So it's crucial to understand. That's why you must understand Greek. Because knowing that that's passive ought to put a whole new spin on it. Well, you know what? If I don't get this word, because I can't make myself grow. Amen. And there's no other entity in the entire universe, Miss Mill, that have called you to grow. There's nothing else there. The sun, moon, the star, the wind, the fame, fortune, money, dirt, trees, education. Okay, what it is. Your culture, your ethnicity, your blackness, your whiteness. Nothing else that exists in the entire universe will cause you to grow except the word of God. Spiritually. Yeah, cause you to grow spiritually except the word of God. That's a revelation. So if you don't get the word, you will not grow. That's a passive word, so that it may grow you as you long for it. And long for it doesn't just mean desiring it and just, oh, I want it. You know, a baby don't say, oh, I really want the milk, and then don't drink the milk. The baby can't talk. So how do they show us they're longing for that milk? By almost sucking the nipple off out of the bottle. Yeah, that's tear that thing up. Sometimes you can't get the milk. Almost you're about to use your grown man muscle to pull the milk out the bottle out of the baby's mouth. We don't have to say we're longing for it. In fact, if he's talking about it, I'm wondering about it. If you are just doing it because you're longing for the word of God, it's going to result in you growing in salvation. We're going to see your life decrease in sin and increase. We'll see it. You don't have to say a word. Amen. I've told people this, but you don't have to walk around talking about, I'm a Christian. Usually the ones saying I'm a Christian, they got that James Brown anointing. Talking loud and saying nothing. Come on, Miss Millie, you know what I'm talking about. Well, you got to know that. Am I right, Miss Millie? And saying nothing. You just talking loud. Like a dull knife, just ain't cutting. Boy, you're talking loud and saying nothing. You ain't got to say a word. Just live it. They'll see it.
And those who God is working on, they're going to want to hang around you. And those who God ain't working on, they don't want to hang around you anymore. They'll marvel because you no longer want to do the thing that you used to do with homeboy, homegirl. They'll see it. And some will be very derisive, very angry. Oh, he think he holy, holier than thou, holy roller, all those sort of things. Fine. Jesus said, rejoice and be not just glad, but exceeding glad. For great is the reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. So I always encourage you, you're in good company. Because they persecuted those who came before you who decided to walk in the things of God. So, the word grow is passive. Word of God is the only thing that can grow you. Look at Ephesians 4:15, as we're coming down the home stretch here. Ephesians 4:15. What grows you? I'm just checking. What grows you? We got six people. All right, the other 10, I don't know what y'all doing, but Ephesians 4:15. You got it, Judy?
Yeah.
Rather speaking the truth in love. Oh, see, that sometimes the neck, those two words following truth, Auntie, we get a little confused at times. You just, but I told him the truth. I told him the truth. Yeah, but you didn't do it. You said it with so much anger and bitterness and vitriol that you're not, first of all, you in sin. Trying to tell them they're in sin. You're sinning, telling them about their sin. Because
yeah.
He said, speak the truth. Then he added two words. And those words mean, are big words, in love. Sometimes, you know, knowledge puffs up, the word of God says. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of knowledge here. Mm-hmm. But you got to be careful that you don't wield it as a sword on other folks' lives. He says, speak the truth in love. When the Lord tells you to give a hard word to someone, you pray over that and pray over that and pray over that until you get an understanding from the Lord as to how to deliver this hard truth. Does that make sense? And then you go in love and meekness. Galatians 6:1, considering your own self. Lest you fall into the same thing that they've fallen into. You don't go joyfully, you don't go angrily, you don't go haughtily, you go meekly, you go humbly, you go obediently. So speak the truth in love. And by the way, what truth is that we're going to speak?
The word.
Thank you. The word. We are to grow up in every way into him who is ahead into Christ. Look, we speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in that. What causes us to grow? The word of God, the truth that is spoken
right.
In love causes us to grow. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. We there? All right. Everyone there? Colossians 1:10. All right. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. There's sanctification. Who's to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord? We are. Worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing to him. Lord God, that's a prayer. Father God, I pray that we walk before you in a way that is fully pleasing to you. Wow, that's amazing. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you're fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increase the knowledge of God. Does that not scream growing growth?
Amen.
You are walking in a manner worthy, fully pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's growing. All that is done by the word of God.
Yes.
That's a prayer, by the way. You can pray that over yourself every day. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We got it? Okay. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. Oh, boy. And the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. So when you are growing in respect to salvation, what's going to happen is that your faith is going to grow in abundance. And guess what else is going to grow? So is your love. Your love for one another is increasing. Again, notice there's going to be clear evidence of the word growing, or you growing in respect to salvation, in particular in sanctification. Your love is going to grow, it's going to increase, and your faith is going to grow abundantly. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I would love for someone to be Berean and go home and go over these verses again and study this. 2 Peter 3, 18. Father, I do pray for a Berean church where they will be Berean, like the Bereans from the city of Berea, and they will go home and study these things to see if these things are so. Amen. Did the preacher preach it right? Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. You got it? 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, that is a command. How can you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Getting to the word. The word is the only book, entity, thing that exists that is going to cause you to grow in knowledge of Jesus. That's what it's going to do. That's the only thing that's going to cause you to grow in knowledge of Jesus. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Question. We talk about growing and growing and growing. How do these things happen? How do you grow? By and because of the word of God and the word alone. How do these things happen? How do you grow? How does this happen? By and because of the word of God and the word of God alone. Remember, it grows you. It grows me. It grows us. Understanding that as we close, it's no wonder that God said not once, not twice, but three times in his word that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that come together now? If the word grows us, since the word grows us, then no wonder he said it three times. Man is not to live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let's look at one of those times. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word, not just word, every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's the Bible. The word of God in its totality, in its entirety, is the word that is, every word of it has come from the mouth of God. Amen. That's Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God breathed. All scripture is, and is profitable. For instruction and rebuke and teaching and so forth and so on. Jesus said it again in Matthew 4:4, you're not to turn their mouth and live by bread alone. And in Luke 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. One commentator has on this teaching about getting fed through the word. He said, now, it's amazing how well we get along without crying for the word of God. He said, it's amazing how well we get along without even crying for it. We're not getting it, what's implied. It's amazing how much junk food we can feed on. Radio, television, movies, internet, computer games, video games, books, so forth and so on. All of that, he goes on to say, which causes spiritual malnourishment and dulls appetites for genuine spiritual food. That's what junk food does. Feeding donuts and cookies and candy, broccoli and asparagus are not going to taste good. Watch what you feed yourself on. Take note of it, especially after this teaching today. How much of it is junk food? Remember, it is by the intake of the truth that the Holy Spirit grows and matures believers. Amen. When I say intake of the truth, that's feeding on the word, right? I'm going to say that again. It is by the intake of the truth that the Holy Spirit grows and matures believers. And let's finish up with this. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I want to show you that in the word. It is by the intake of the truth that the Holy Spirit grows and matures believers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18, and we're done. We're done and done. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to finish out another lesson. It's always a pleasure and a power and honor. 2 Corinthians 3:18. This will conclude Cultivating an Intense Desire for the Word of God series. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. See, that's growth. From one degree of glory to another. Then he lets you know, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. It is by the intake of the truth that the Holy Spirit grows and matures believers. Meaning he, through his power, grows us from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Here endeth the lesson. I pray, Father God, that our lives will never be the same concerning our hunger and desire for the word of God. Make it an intense, insatiable, ever-recurring, all-consuming longing that will never end until we leave this earth. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.